This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p.
Broadcasting from the 57th annual CMA Awards.
It's the Bobby Bones Show.
All right, it's Morgan here with Chris Jensen. Chris, you got like a whole entourage. Like everybody's excited to see you. Does it feel great to be the most popular guy in the room?
Thank you, you made my day. I really appreciate you saying it. You know what? Honest answer. I'm really thankful to be in the room. I'm thankful to be recognized in the room. And I remember a time humbly when, you know, early in an artist's career, you want to come to things like this, or you're like, you know, you get to and nobody really knows or cares, frankly, and you don't have a hit. And, you know, it's not that way anymore. And I'm really thankful for that. So I love being loved by the community, and I love the community back.
I was going to say, the love is in the room with you.
It
surrounds you like a little cloud when you walk.
God, you are the nice. This is the nicest interview I've had today. Thank you.
I'm here to be your hype woman.
No, but I mean it very sincerely. Like, we appreciate that. The kindness, it matters. And, you know, you just treat people how you want to be treated. And if you have that, you can walk with that, man. And that's what blesses other people. And that's what in turn gets you blessed back. And
that's true.
It's the truth, man. Because none of the other parts matter. They really don't. The smoke and the mirrors, who cares? There's a million artists in here and a million different stories and egos and the whole deal. I don't have one of those. I'm just thankful to be alive and thankful to have a hit and thankful to be where I am.
Well, speaking of being thankful, you know, something that I get to do that I'm very thankful for a few times a month is my dog Remy and I are a therapy animal team. And we go
really?
To retirement homes. It's my favorite part of the whole month.
That's really awesome.
But like, you do some really cool things. So like, when's the last
Thank
time
you.
You're like... It could be something that you volunteered, or it could just be a situation that happened, but you were like, I'm really thankful that this is part of my life, even though maybe it wasn't intended.
Yeah, and that you're able to bless someone with that.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, the hat that's on my head, it's not just for show or to be cool. It has my logos on it and stuff because we sell those and we give all the money back to conservation. And through that, we have a charity called Hunters for the Hungry, which we team with the state. And now the hat, because of the sales of the hat, has become the top donor. So any wild harvested game, like if you love to hunt and fish, that you want to donate to a processor, they do it professionally, we pay for it. And we give it for free to people who need it. So we did 1.8 million meals last year.
Wow.
Just in Tennessee.
That's incredible.
And that's just one of the charities with it. So that's, thank you. And so I would say that would, right off the bat, that was the last thing I thought about. But I'll tell you that, you know, like you do the therapy with your dog for folks, man, you can do therapy with people without even knowing you're doing therapy with people and without them even knowing they're getting it. And maybe vice versa. It's more therapeutic for you to give, right? Because it's seriously. And so.
Well, you're talking it out. There's a lot of energy that happens.
Correct. And I think that so the last time that something really blessed my heart, we were in Waffle House, Kelly and I.
Oh, I love a Waffle House.
And we met these ladies that I could tell they maybe kind of wanted a picture, and then they did. But then what was even greater was they were both in recovery for whatever they had going on in their life, and they're doing really well, and I was like really blessed by that. And they were like, man, like it just goes so much further than just your music. Like you and Kelly are what we thought you were. You're who we thought you were. And that blessed me to know that like just being kind to people matters, you know? And so even on your worst day, and we all have them, we all have cranky days and bad days or whatever, but even on your worst day, man, you can find, you can really have the opportunity to change someone's whole trajectory of how they look at you or how they look at their own life, you know? And being on stage, even like every night, being able to just tell people what's on my heart and doing more than just songs. We live in such a different time now. I don't think people just want to hear songs. They need something. They need
something. They want to connect with you
they
in so many
something
ways.
They need something in life. That people need it. I need it. And so it's just a great thing to just be able to share the gospel if you're a Christian. Whatever you believe, though, just be able to spread some positivity with people. And that's sort of my part of my mission accidentally, you know?
Well, congratulations on the hat, which, by the way, Chris is wearing a Bass Pro hat, but it has his label on it. So if you do want to support that, I assume those are on your website somewhere,
right? Yeah, you can get them anywhere. You can get them on the website. But
that's just really amazing what you guys have done with that.
But just thank you. Just know that it goes back 100%, you know, with it goes back to what matters, you know, with the people and the earth. I mean, conservation is key. It's so much more than hunting and fishing. It's really about keeping this earth clean and keeping, you know, I'm part of No Trash Tennessee too, which is like the big billboards around town this week about picking up trash. I mean, it's just simple things in life, golden rule stuff.
You just want to be a good human.
Just like you treat people how you want to be treated. You treat the earth how you want to live on it.
Yeah.
And that's right. And so, it goes along with music too. I mean, when you saw us today, you greeted me and Kelly both, which I appreciated. And, you know, it's like I appreciate the support with All I Need Is You, the song I wrote about her. It's like everything in my life is lined up so nice. And you mentioned about having like a glow around us when we walk around the room. Like, I appreciate you noticing that, because when you have your home life in order, then everything else is a breeze. Like everything else is sort of like...
I mean, that if that is not a pro tip, if I've ever heard one.
It's the truth, man. I spent so many years, like you, like everybody in here, everybody's guilty of spending so much time worrying about everything around them. What do people think? Do they like me? Do they not like me? I don't know. Who knows? Who cares? If you have your life in order, then everything else falls into place. And you're able to walk through a room in a hallway like this with like a humble confidence that nobody else has.
Well, and if you're a good human being... Yeah. Nothing can come against you. Nothing fights a good human being.
Amen.
Than that good human being.
I agree. We also pray every day. We get up every morning. We say, Lord, you know, give us some strength to just try to do the best we can. And I'm just trying to do the best I can. And I feel like we're doing a pretty good job. So
you're doing great at it. Don't sell yourself short. You are doing great at it. Well, okay.
You are too, man.
I do.
This is, we're so proud. I mean, honestly, like, you're cool and like, I hope you take this the right way. We're really proud of you. Like, you're such a nice person, and you treat people with respect and reverence when they walk in here. You don't treat them like... So many people look at people like, oh, an artist, and they set them on a pedestal. But you treat people like a normal person. That's when you find the real person. That's when you find out who's the real deal and who's not. You know, and there's other real deals in there.
I mean, you guys are my friends. Well, it's just like talking to friends.
We consider the same. Thank you.
I do have a fun question for you, too.
Oh. Whoa!
I bet you were not ready for that.
Wow.
You were not ready for that.
Okay, here we were having church.
We had a really great conversation.
And then
going.
This guy jumped in.
Holy crap.
Question. Are you going to invest or what?
Yeah, I'm going to invest.
Great.
Absolutely, 100%. I am investing. I am here to make money, man. That's what I'm always looking for my next
big thing. I'm still having a heart
attack
right now.
They scare me to death.
I mean,
God Almighty.
Had a really great conversation.
Yeah, man. Here we were talking about.
No, it was not great because it was quiet and you guys were both like.
No, it was great.
It was actually really great.
It was wonderful.
I bet it's real deep and emotional.
It was wonderful, man. It was wonderful. Pitts was crying. Everything was good. And
we were having a great conversation. Okay, well, I was about to ask you a funny question.
Yeah, ask away.
Who's your hero? Like your number one hero, celebrity, athlete, musical?
And Jesus Christ is my hero. My wife is my hero. My kids are my hero, but my celebrity hero?
Yeah.
My new friend that I met about 6 months ago, he's a very nice person. The Rock. Dwayne Johnson.
Okay,
you met The Rock?
Yeah.
Okay, man.
What happened? The
Tell
story.
Tell me, have you asked him about when he pulls up to those celeb buses? Like, is that real or does he set that up?
That is as real as it gets. He's the real deal. You know, we were talking about the hat earlier. He did a whole 6-minute promo on his Instagram. He's the most followed person in the world. You can look it up. He did a whole thing on my hat. He calls me Chris Bluesman Jansen because he loves Hank Jr. And I do too. And so we have a lot in common. We met in LA like 6 months ago.
Randomly or like you were at the same spot?
Randomly at the same spot. And I mean, you couldn't have. I mean, that's just how God paints a painting, man. That's
and did you
it.
Go to him and be like, dude, you're the rocker? Like,
yes, I did.
Okay.
My kids were freaking out. And
because of Moana?
Just because he's very famous, you know?
Okay.
And like because of everything. And just because when you see him, you're like, oh, clearly that's the Rock. But I said, hey, man, would you mind if my kids got a picture? And he was like, yeah, no worries. And then we just stood there in the parking lot at the valet stand.
Oh, so it wasn't like an industry thing. You were like leaving a restaurant. He's leaving a restaurant.
We were like in the middle of a neighborhood at a local restaurant. And we talked for like 20 minutes. And then we exchanged phone numbers, which I was like,
you have the Rock's phone number.
Weird.
Like, hey, we should tweet him. We should text him a picture. Like, hey, Rock, how you been doing? And it's a picture of us.
Don't do that. That will ruin it.
No, it wouldn't. Actually, he's honest to God. He's not like he's just really cool. That's all I can tell you. He's like, yeah, give me your phone and let's keep in touch. We keep in touch. We talk country music like every couple of weeks. We talk kids. We talk like buddies.
Wait, okay, see, this is legit. Like, we really should send him a video. Like, hey, Rock, we're just talking about you. Hope all's well in your life.
Okay, we can talk about that.
Oh,
but
my gosh.
He does sing, though. So do you see a potential collaboration
absolutely.
With The Rock?
I absolutely do. And I think that if it were going to happen with anybody, I would vouch to say it may happen with me. Who knows? Maybe not. But he does sing. He sings very well. And we have the same interest in music and similar taste, you know. He's also a family man, and he loves to fish and all these things, and that's why he loved the hat. And I offered to send him one. I was like, I got to send you one of my hats. He was complimented it. And I was like, I'll send you one. He bought 30 of them and then did a whole promo. And, like, that was one of the kindest things anybody's ever done for me.
Holy
you know?
Crap, man.
I mean,
it was
wild.
Yeah,
it blew my mind.
I always thought that when he pulls up to the tour buses, though, going back to the point that it's
fake, dog. It ain't fake. He is the realest deal. And then again,
right.
You remember talking about like you treat people how you want to be treated and it comes back to you? Like, just came back to me randomly and I just appreciate it so much. I mean, I was like, I sent him a voicemail. I'm like, dude, I was about to go on stage. I'm so thankful. He's like, no problem. Let me just. Boop.
That's what I'm talking about.
Okay, well.
We got to wrap this interview up so we can send Rock a video.
The reason I even brought up The Rock, okay, is because I was going to ask, if you were in a situation and you hang out with The Rock again, would you rather him vomit on you or you vomit on him?
Oh, definitely. I ain't about to have nobody vomit on me, no doubt about it.
So you vomit on him.
I mean, like, I would rather nobody vomits, but.
I hear you.
Yeah, but I mean, if anybody had to do it, I'd rather be me. Probably.
Okay.
Yeah, because I mean, that would just, I mean, gross, man.
I know.
You know what I'm saying?
You'd probably take it with a grain of stride, too. You'd just be like, yeah, that's, that
whatever.
Happened.
I would try to miss the shoes. So, but no, he's, and all in all, he's a wonderful guy. Great, great friend. And, you know, it's just interesting the people you meet along your way. It's just wild.
Oh, that's so awesome. Well, Chris, thanks for joining. Sorry we gave you a little mini heart attack.
You're kidding. This is so fun. I really enjoyed both of you. I enjoyed all of you guys. You're great. Thank you.
Thank you.
The CMAs are live on ABC.
Tomorrow night.
At 8, 7 Central.
It was like, buy Tyco or whatever at the end.
At the very end.
Yes.
And it goes, buy Tyco.
And at the end of the day, he was just like, here's tiny cars.
And like, did he practice that or did he always talk that fast and that's why they hired him?
That guy had that gift from childhood and then had to find a way to make his bills be paid with it.
So I think he was an auctioneer probably and they found him. They're like, hey, dude, you're no longer an auctioneer. You're going to be in our commercial.
Or he was just super anxious and he just talked really fast all the time.
Wait, guys, I don't know what y'all are talking about.
Oh, no. You didn't get to have micro machines when you were a kid.
I don't even know what a micro machine
is. Oh, they were this little tiny
cars. Do you have any idea how 40 I feel right now?
No, you
I'm sorry. I was genuinely trying to follow.
That's okay.
But I couldn't find it.
That's okay. They were just tiny cars.
And this guy on the commercial would talk super fast.
So fast.
It made you want to buy the cars. And you had to buy the cars. And you bought the cars. And then they were really small.
And that was it.
And then you'd lose them because they were so small. And you'd step on them. And
That was the whole thing.
It was great.
So it's like a mini version of Hot Wheels?
Yes.
Oh,
is that right?
Mini version.
Mini.
Tiny.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we need to find some
mini
so
version.
I can see this.
Yeah.
What other things are you like? You look back on your childhood and you're like, dang, that was really cool. Is there anything that's made you nostalgic? Because I feel like everything's coming back.
Yeah, I hope G.I. Joe's the way they were when I was a kid come back.
Yeah, they're not around as much
anymore.
They
were awesome, and they were made of really high-quality parts. Like, you know, the leg wasn't going to just fall off of a G.I. Joe. And my brothers had all the Star Wars action figures, which those were plastic. Their limbs didn't bend or anything, but they were so cool.
Another cool thing was Army Men. Like, you don't just go to the toy store anymore and just see Army Men.
Yeah, like a bucket of Army Men.
I don't understand
like
what happened.
Like the one you see in Toy Story, right?
Yeah.
Yes,
only you get a bucket of like 2,000 of them.
Oh, and kind of like the monkeys. The little monkeys that connected?
Yeah.
Barrel of monkeys.
A barrel of monkeys.
Yes. All the great toys.
I hope all of the great toys come back.
But yeah, I mean, now every toy makes their own sound. Like, you can't create any
sound. It makes a sound for you.
Yes, it's
lame.
Like, everything has to have batteries, and then you buy it, and the battery's not included. It's like, oh, my God, and your
and
kid's
like. And now I'm
like,
when we were little, we played with sticks. I genuinely played with sticks.
I did hear you say something about Star Wars, though. Are you a Star Wars nerd?
Yeah.
Heck yes.
Oh, my gosh, yes. I'm the youngest of 6 children, so all of my brothers.
And this is where I exit the interview, guys.
Listen.
Look, I don't have anything against people that aren't in love with Star Wars. I have nothing against it. Like, I've never seen one. And I'm like, okay, good on you.
I don't know which one is Star Wars. I think Star Wars came back out when we were probably in high school because you're about the same age as I did.
Yeah.
Right? And so I went on a date with a chick, Claire, to the movies.
Hi, Claire.
And I wherever she's at now. What up, Claire?
He remembers the weirdest names.
No, I know. I can tell your last name.
I
probably shouldn't shout
her
out like that. But I was like, let's go to Star Wars. It comes out. And like, I mean, whatever. And I was like, oh my God, halfway through. I was like, this is terrible. But we didn't make out. So it was cool. And my sister drove us because she was older and she was going to a different movie. And then I found out that she snuck in and sat one row behind us and watched for a little bit to see how it was going. And then she left and went back to her movie.
Can we make a movie about this? Can we make a movie about you going to see a movie?
Yeah. It would be really good.
Yeah. I'd watch it.
Held hands, moved the armrest up. Boom.
I would take my sister and make her sit a couple rows back. Watch me watch a movie about you watching a movie.
Do you have any like story of this that like really come back to you when he's like talking about that? Because I don't like the only story that comes to mind is like I went and saw The Grudge with a date that I had, and that's all I remember. Do you?
I went to see American Pie at the drive-in.
Oh, good.
And they were out of pickles. You know the big giant dill pickles. So I bought the jar of juice.
Did you drink it?
Several of us did, and that wasn't all we were drinking, of course. So
were you having picklebacks?
I was like, oh, picklebacks.
That's really
And it came out when I was in high school. I'm sorry, Mom.
You know, you gotta do what you gotta do sometimes. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
That's a good story. Creative.
Yeah.
I mean, guys, we didn't even do the introduction.
We are with Ashley McBride.
I'm Ashley McBride, and this is the 57th Annual Country Music Awards.
Crushed that.
You're really good.
I just practiced it like 6 times over there because the person I was sitting with said it so clearly and so beautifully. Because normally I'm like, this is a 57th South American Awards.
Yeah, I don't even
remember.
I'm just like, it's the CMA Awards.
Where are we?
Right, cool.
Where are we right now?
Well, Ashley, we do have a Would You Rather question,
too. Yes.
You want to do mine?
No, not yours.
Yes.
Okay. You can do it after. Can I do this one first?
Yeah.
This is better. Who's your hero? Like musical, celebrity, athlete?
The Micro Machine guy, of course.
Yeah.
He's pretty great.
As of late and the last year or so, I would say Winona.
Winona.
I've learned so much from her on how to navigate life.
Well, if you were in a room with Winona, would you rather vomit on her or her vomit on you?
I'd rather vomit on her because she would be so cool at how she handled it.
Okay, how do you picture, like, you vomit?
She would be like you go on her, and she would be like, well, at least I can wear this with mixed metals. You know, like, she would just make it part of the day.
I love that. Okay, lunch, go for it.
Now my turn. For the rest of your life, would you rather pee out your nose or poop out your ear?
Oh, man, I'd pee out my nose.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't understand that.
It's just
easier
to clean up.
You're the only one who says poop out your ear.
It's easier to clean up.
Man, I don't know. I feel like
you can be like, oh, sorry, if you got that coming out of your ears. There's no like, oh, sorry.
Yeah, but I just worry about it getting in your mouth. That's my only
concern.
At this point,
we're not worried about it. I'm Ashley McBride, and this has been an absolute blast at the 57th Annual Country Music Awards. Stay with us.
Crush it.
The CMAs are live
tomorrow
at 8, 7 central on ABC.
It's Morgan here with two of the guys of Lady A.
I know. Sorry, Hillary's sick. She's at home resting up.
It's that time of year.
You know, it's not funny because she's sick, but we finished our tour last Sunday, and Monday morning at 8 a.m., I kid you not, she texted us on our group chat. And she was like, guys, my whole body just went, and she's out for the count. But resting up today, we're presenting on the show, so we're shooting for that tomorrow, and I think she'll be good by tomorrow.
That's more important than anything, so I do hope well wishes all the way around. Everything gets better quick. But I do have some things to talk to you guys about. I went to y'all's Request Line tour, and holy crap. I didn't go in with any other expectations besides I love these guys, I love their music. Not only did I forget that you guys have so many songs that I like just totally forgot about, but like the way that you guys did that and interacted with the crowd, I felt like I was just like on my parents' couch hanging out and listening to music.
That was the goal. I mean, you know, I think it even surprises me sometimes when I kind of like sit back and I look at the set list and I'm like, holy moly, I mean, we've really done it, you know, and just a gratitude kind of way. And and you know, the fun thing for us was, again, taking requests that whole tour. It was like you kept getting all these deep cuts that we would have to kind of relearn.
Yeah.
And so it took us in down memory lane, you know, singing the first song we ever wrote together, you know, when Hillary came over and we're sitting in front of my brother's piano and Dave, you know, Dave and I had the song we started that we couldn't finish. And she walks in and within 15 minutes we had the chorus written, and it was like, I remember those moments. Mm-hmm. And that tour kind of brought all those back.
And I think my favorite was just connecting with the fans and the audience too. So you were in the Nashville show.
Yeah, at the Ryman, which is iconic.
That was our first one.
That was our first one.
We got better.
We got better.
I was saying, well, you guys crushed it that night. I had nothing to go off of.
I mean, we have, you know, 200 memories from this tour. But, you know, a song that people danced at their wedding too, and we find them in the audience and connect with them, and some really emotional stuff, some really happy stuff, some funny stuff. Lots of Taylor Swift requests in general, as you can imagine. But it was
did
just really
fun. Did you
guys
ever do any Taylor Swift
we did.
Covers?
We did.
We've had some funny moments.
We had a sort of a cover moment where we sort of told everyone, we thought you were going to request our songs, but you requested a bunch of others, which was true. We had some Hanson, some Wilson Phillips.
Were you guys
Taylor
doing some
Swift.
Mbop?
We did Mbop one night. Hopefully no one was filming it.
Just some little teasers, not to give them too much, right?
No. Can't, I mean, the truth is, there's not really many other lyrics.
It's just a mbop.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure that's all I got.
It's just a mbop.
What do you guys do, being you guys have been in the industry for so long, and you came up with Request Line Tour, which was so creative, but, like, how do you keep being creative? I feel like I go, like, 6 months, I'm like, dang, that's all my creativity for the year.
I think giving ourselves breaks is important, too, you know, having some time off. You know, I feel like, you know, we've always kind of said we've been on a little, you know, for a good 10 years you're on the hamster wheel where you tour, you come right back in, go in the studio, go promote a record, go back on tour. And so I think we're finally getting to a point now where it's like, hey, we don't feel like we have to prove too much anymore, but we love creating and just focusing on the process of creating and, you know, really enjoying the tour, giving ourselves a break. So then when we go back out, you know, we're ready for it and excited for it. And so, but this new music, you know, our new single, Love You Back, this is one of those songs, you know, it just reminds me of the first couple records, and I'm so proud of it. I just love when we're able to release a song that I know that when I listen to 20 years from now, I'm going to be proud of it and not, like, cringy. Because there's always a couple songs you're like, I wish we hadn't put that one out.
I'm going to see if you tell me a little bit. What's one of your songs where you're
freestyle.
Like, oh, my gosh, I love that, and one you don't like?
Freestyle, which I laugh. Shane McAnany, probably the greatest songwriter in our genre, wrote it with us. And we always laugh. He goes, I almost ruined Lady A's career with that song. But he's one of the greatest songwriters of all time. But we kind of, you know, wrote that song, and I listen to it now, and I'm like, how did we put that out?
I don't feel
but
like I even remember this song.
Well, there you
exactly,
go.
Exactly.
It didn't go very far.
Okay, that
it was,
it
was a
you
quick moment.
The point correct.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
It wasn't memorable.
We call that song Chasing.
Okay, and what about a song that you look back and you're like, I'm really glad we wrote that. Please tell me American
gosh.
Honey is one
American,
of those.
I would say American Honey, Needs You Now, and Run to You. I mean, you know, Run to You especially, I feel like the lyrics continue to just be more and more true with every year that goes by. But yeah, I mean, those three are at the top for us.
Yep. I love that. Okay, I do have a fun question. Would you rather, first off, who is your hero? Like, each you guys can have the same hero, you can have a different hero. Who's your hero?
Musically hero.
However you want to go about it. But probably a famous one in some capacity.
I'll go Vince Gill.
Vince Gill. Okay.
Yeah.
What about you, Charles?
One. Bob Seger. Man, okay. I just think Bob Seger is just one of those guys that one of the greatest vocalists, entertainers, and you know, it's funny. I mean, I think Bob Seger is as much of an influence in country music, especially for country artists, current country artists, as anybody.
Well, this is taking a turn. I know you guys got really nice and said really nice things about them, but I would like to know if you got to meet them and hang out with them. Would you prefer that they vomit on you or you vomit on them?
Oh, I'll take.
It's
I'll
a would you rather.
I'll take Seeger's vomit for sure.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Like on my shoe?
Yeah.
Wouldn't even wash it off.
What if it's like all
Seger
over you?
Seger came to one of our shows on the Need You Now tour way back in the day. I don't know if you ever remember
did
that.
Did he vomit on you?
He did not vomit on me, but okay. I almost vomited.
I thought that was going to be the end of the story.
I almost vomited on him.
Whoa.
Yeah, I almost vomited on him.
I guess you want to have your heroes vomit. That's what we learned today.
Yeah.
Yeah,
do you agree?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's heroic vomit.
Well, it's less embarrassing because it's like, well, you vomit on me. You
right?
got to live with that. But if I vomit on you, now I got to live with that shame.
Have you guys ever had like an embarrassing moment on tour maybe happen or awards or anything and you're just like, dang, I really wish I could forget that?
There's a reason I stopped drinking. So, yes.
Hey, touche.
Many a moment.
End of story.
Speaking of vomit, there was one memorable moment I remember of Halloween being in a do you remember that? In
the banana costume,
and I threw up on the bus. And
you were in a banana costume?
I was in a banana costume.
I mean, but pretty iconic.
It was
that you were in a
6'6" banana.
When Charles calls me, that's his image on my phone. It's still from 2007, really his banana costume.
I love that. Okay, well, thank you guys for joining us, and have
thank
fun
you.
This week. I hope Hillary gets better really soon.
She will. She better. She better.
She will. I love her. Like, no,
she really has to by tomorrow.
The CMAs are live on ABC.
Tomorrow night.
At 8:17.
7 Central.
It's Morgan and Lunchbox here with Brothers Osborne. And listen, you guys came in strong talking about crustaches, and I really need to know what that is.
Crustache is just a way to make fun of people with mustaches. I can't talk. I've got a mustache that's attached to just an absolute rat's nest. We're speaking about his facial hair over here, and that is perfectly, it's like Ricky Ricardo. It is like, it's beautiful. Someone got in there, it's surgical. It is absolutely stunning.
So if somebody good has pan. Just a mustache, you call it a crustache.
Yeah. Honestly, though, a crustache is like all of our first mustaches that we tried to grow in like 12th grade to be like grown up, but it's funnier when you call it crustache.
No, I'm not.
It has a better ring to
that.
It. It makes it less pervy because the single mustache is kind of like, it used to be looked at as a perv thing. Like, stay away from a
perv.
Well, it depends. I think the jawline has a lot to do with it. Like, I tried a mustache one time. My jawline isn't great. I looked quite pervy.
Yeah, so. It's like, and especially like if it's a white white van and a mustache, very
exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that was why the white van.
Yeah, my dad drove a white van. No joke. But now my question is: when you go to these interviews, what is the question that people ask over and over there? And you're just like, oh my god, we got to answer this again.
Well, the one I always really find really, still don't know how to answer is, what does it mean to you to be nominated?
That's a tough one.
I'm like, what does it mean to me? I don't know how to answer that.
I don't think we've asked that question once.
No, you haven't. But usually, I'm like, it throws me off. I'm like, it means we're nominated. I don't know. It breaks my brain. How do you answer that?
But also, if you answered it in a very articulate way, like you were prepared for it, it kind of says something about you. You know what I'm saying? Like, you sat there and rehearsed, like, this is what it means to me. But you don't want to know. You don't want to tell people your inner thoughts. That's terrifying. So you just kind of like, how does it make you feel? Oh, it makes me feel great.
Exactly.
I feel very proud. What does
that's
it mean?
A very,
ooh, I don't know.
Yeah,
it's
that's
terrifying.
A very easy question. How do you feel? Do you feel good? Yes.
It makes what me feel warm inside and fuzzy and feels like we put out good music, even if we don't get nominated, guess what? It's still good music because we like it. And if the critics don't like it, they can kick rocks.
Okay, right, let me do that answer, but with the word mean. Like, what does it mean to you? Well, it means we put out good music. It means that I'm warm and fuzzy inside. It just sounds awful.
Well,
you know
speaking of your all's music, too, like, you guys might be the one country artist that I actually work out to because I like y'all's upbeat
vibe. All right.
Because it's kind of weird working out to country music sometimes. You're like, this isn't really the
vibe. Are you trying to have them picture you working out? Is that what we're doing here?
I am going.
I already did.
I did that while I walked
up. I was going somewhere with it. I need to know what you guys listen to while you work out. Do you listen to country? Or are you like rocking out?
You know, I'm like one of the weird people. I always forget my earbuds or whatever.
You work out with music?
Well, no, there's just whatever random music they're playing in the gym, which I usually don't like, which then usually really irritates me. So then I work out harder.
Wait, you go to the public gym?
I do, yeah.
What in the world?
This is why I asked the question, but also always said that psychopaths are the ones that don't wear AirPods when they work out.
I do have psychopathic tendencies, that is for sure. But no, the thing is, I do go to public gym, it's like I have a gym set up at my house, but I just, when I'm there, I'm like, nah, I'm not doing it. When I go somewhere else, I'm like, okay, I have to like get in and out of here as fast as possible.
See, and you get kind of like compete with the person next to you, like, you're running, I'm going to run faster.
And they're looking at me. And they're like, who is this psychopath?
You're running?
AirPods.
That's what I'm doing. I'm on a treadmill. I'm at a gym. What else would I be doing? Sitting?
Well, what about you? What do you listen to?
I knew the question was going to come my way. I don't work out, and I really need to.
Do you like to walk?
And I think, but I like to sit and watch people work out. Now, what I do, probably because I don't listen to our own music. Maybe I should listen to our own music, and then I will.
Your guys' music is great for working out.
Thank you. I've been listening to a lot of podcasts, so maybe that's why I'm not working out. I just sit and I have fear of where our economy is going. So, yeah. Maybe, yeah.
That went kind of dark. I was
not prepared. That was a joke. I'm not worried about that. Right now. I will be in a couple of years after this interview comes out and people cancel us, but we'll be good.
But right now, he's worried about how he feels to be nominated. That's what he's worried about right now. Yeah. The economy will come after the award show.
Right, exactly. What it means to him.
That is fair. Okay, guys, we do also have a fun would you rather question.
Okay.
Who are y'all's heroes?
Oh, I have a lot of heroes, but you know.
Musical or?
It could be musical, celebrity, athlete, just not your mom.
Well, why not
well, because there's a reason. I have a question behind it.
Because you've already met your mom.
Yeah.
Well, I would say musically, like, I really love Merle Haggard. You know, he's, I think, an amazing singer and songwriter. And I just, everything he stands for, I don't know. Love Merle Haggard.
Okay. All right. And what about you?
Let's see.
That is not a hero.
I know. It's so hard because there's so many. I mean, dead or alive, dead would be Jimi Hendrix, like my hero. But I think live, and I've already met this guy a couple of times, but like Vince Gill as a guitar player is like one of my heroes.
Okay, well, there is a reason. Lunchbox, you want to ask him why we're asking that?
The reason is, when you meet your hero or you spend time with your hero, would you rather you vomit on your hero or your hero vomit on you?
Definitely vomit on me.
Vomit on me. I just had a kid 7 months ago. I've been covered in vomit for the past half a year, so I've got this down.
Yeah, the kid vomit. Once it happens, it's like whatever.
Is that why you didn't want the mom to be in there?
Well, yeah, because you probably already vomited on your mom when you were younger.
Probably.
And when you're older too. You know what I mean?
Sometimes when we're older.
All right, brothers Osborne, thanks for stopping by. Good luck, and I hope it feels good to get nominated.
It does.
I hope you feel great.
Feels great.
Yeah, it means a lot.
The CMAs are live
tomorrow
at 8/7 Central on ABC.
1-1-2-2. All right. What's up, boys? How you doing, dog? Good, man. Thank you.
All right. Lunchbox here with Parker McCollum. Hey, let me tell you, how expensive is your outfit today?
If you take away the watch, not that expensive. Probably $60.
Oh, free?
No.
Like, are you at the level where you get free clothes all the time now?
I do get a lot of free clothes, but I just like to buy my own.
Really? Even though they give them to you free, why would you not?
I just like to buy what I like.
Now, do you do your own shopping?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Like, you go to the mall, or is it all online?
I'm sponsored by Luke Casey, so they send me all the boots and stuff that I could ever want. I go to Cavender's a lot. I go to Academy. I go to Cabela's. That's where I do most of my shopping.
And it's okay, Parker McCollum can walk into a store and people aren't like, oh, what up, Parker? Let me take a picture. You can have a normal life.
Sometimes I don't want to go in, but I have to. So,
is it weird to get to that point where you're like, you're trying to get to that point, and then once you get to that point, it's like, man, because I feel it. Like, you go in, it's like, oh, my God, I can't even go to this restaurant because here we go. People are going to want to take pictures.
Man, people always ask, you ever get tired of it? And no. I mean, it's such a good problem to have. It wasn't always like that. And one day they're probably not going to give a damn. So, you just be really grateful for it. And, if they're paying money to come see you, paying their hard-earned money to come see your show, take the time to meet them and ask them how their day's going.
Weirdest place someone has approached you for a picture?
A funeral.
Stop it.
Yeah. It's the only time I've ever said no.
A funeral? Yeah. Do they meet you out back, when it's over?
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's the only time I've ever said no to a photo.
Because I've had people take pictures of me at the urinal, ask me for a picture, but literally I'm taking a leak.
Selfies don't count, Lunchbox. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, well, I mean, I would do a selfie, but yes.
At the urinal.
Yes, but that's just so weird. You take a picture of me standing at the urinal. Why do you
the
want that?
The best thing to do is just show them what they want to see,
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's true.
Let them have it.
So what's the hardest part about being famous?
I don't really think I'm famous. When I think about famous, Jennifer Aniston's famous. But there's nothing really hard about it, I don't think. I mean, it's a great problem to have. It's so, if nobody's bothering you in public, then, probably not a whole lot going on.
Yeah, okay. Could you retire right now if you wanted to?
Yeah.
Dang! That is awesome. Sir. Do you still look at your credit card statement? At what point did you get where you can just stop looking at the credit card statement? You're like, I can afford that.
I don't look at it. I just tell my financial advisors. They text me every Friday telling me how much I spent that week on it. And that just is brand new. Before, I'd never look at it because it's sickening. You don't want to see it. But I don't know, man. I try not to be arrogant about it,
Yeah, I just like money. So I just want to.
Me too.
I love money. Money is so fascinating to me.
And money, you can't help people if you don't have money. So
yeah, and so with your wife, do you guys talk about if you're going to make a purchase, do you have to say, hey, I'm going to spend this much? Or is it honey, I trust you. You buy whatever you want. And
well, she just knows I don't look. So she buys whatever she wants. But I buy her a lot of stuff, so she doesn't really have to buy much.
Does she go with you on the road every time?
No. She comes out every now and then.
And so every time you're coming home from the road, do you bring a gift?
Not always, but I try to. I'll always look. But I won't just buy something to buy it. If I buy something, I'm like, oh, she'd really like that, I'll get it. But if not, then I don't do anything.
So my wife's 40th birthday is coming up, and I have this issue that I feel like she should plan.
That's
her
better than your 40th wife's birthday.
That's true. Yes, you know? That's a great point. But I have the feeling that she should plan her 40th birthday because it puts so much pressure on me because she knows what she wants. She knows who she wants to invite. So it's like, why not just plan it instead of saying, hey, are you going to plan something special for me? Who is responsible for planning that birthday party?
I would probably do it. My sister's like the ultimate planner. It's like what she does for a living. So like even like when me and Hallie got engaged, I just called my sister and I'm like, hey, will you take care of this? And she did. I just paid for it.
See, that's legit. See, like, I'm just like, my wife, I had this big argument. I'm like, I don't understand. Like, you know what you want. So instead of saying, hey, I want this, why don't you plan it? Just plan it how you want it, and we can go.
Yes. Yeah, I agree with that. They should plan it.
Thank you.
That way they can be happy.
Right.
Because you're probably going to get it wrong.
Because you're going to get it wrong. Yeah. They're putting extra pressure on you, and then they're disappointed on their 40th birthday, and it's like, well, I'm screwed.
100%.
I knew Parker McCollum was smart. He likes money, and he thinks the wife should plan the party. I mean, what else is 100%. There to say?
Well played, Lunchbox.
Yeah. One more before we go, we got to ask you, who's your hero? Like sports, celebrity hero. I mean, I see you got the Jordans on.
I'm actually a LeBron guy, but.
Sorry. Excuse me? Take the shoes off?
Hero? Probably my dad.
Okay, all right. Someone you don't know that you haven't... like
my dad. No, okay. I'm kidding.
Damn, I was like, well, that sucks. I mean, you and Bobby got something in common.
Sorry,
all right.
I couldn't help it. Man, probably George Strait.
Okay. So you're hanging out with George Strait. Would you rather George Strait puke on you or you puke on George Strait?
Oh, yeah. I'd hope he'd puke on me for sure.
Is there a reason? Just
because then no one can say that I puked on George Strait.
Okay,
that'd be terrible.
That's pretty bad. And one more: would you rather for the rest of your life? Would you rather pee out your nose or poop out your ear? See how deep this one is? This is a thoughtful one.
I'm just thinking of
the repercussions.
If you're on a plane, or I would probably pee out of my nose.
Okay, disgusting.
Yeah,
that's. Interesting. Is there a reason why you picked nose?
Well, you have it's all in one place, so you don't want to be pooping out both sides of your head when you could just pee out of one place.
Didn't think about that. I always thought it would just come out one ear or the other ear. I never thought about it coming out both ears.
You got to be more specific, Lunchbox. Dang. Those details are super important.
All right. Parker McCollum, everyone, thank you so much.
Hey, thanks for your time, bro.
The CMAs are live on ABC
tomorrow night
at 8, 7 Central.
Hey, it's Bobby Bones. I want to say thanks for everybody who has helped with St. Jude. I mean, you guys are changing lives. You guys are saving lives. St. Jude has been leading the way to the world's best survival rates for some of the most aggressive forms of cancer, and I'm talking about childhood cancer. Your support actually means that families never receive a bill from St. Jude for treatment or travel or housing or food, so the parents can focus on being a parent and helping their kid live. You know, I never had cancer, but I was in the hospital as a kid for a long time. And I just remember how difficult it was, how scary it was. And then I remember getting out and having to figure out how to pay the bill. I didn't have to pay it, but somebody did. But St. Jude eliminates a lot of that. You can help St. Jude stop childhood cancer by becoming a partner in Hope. You'll get an awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. Join the doctors, the researchers. Hey, join me in this fight and visit musicgives.org. That's musicgives.org.
When it comes to making cool graphics, I'm not very good at it. But every once in a while, if you see me do something, and I'm like, I made this, and you're like, I bet he hired someone. Nope. The truth is, I use Canva, because you can take a dumb like me that doesn't know a lot about graphic design, and because of the templates already built in, you can do things that look super cool. You can do like Mike D, who does know a bit about it, and it looks even cooler. Like, what do you use yours for?
You can do it to make a pitch deck, and it looks like it took like a million hours to make, then like 5 minutes.
And that's because a lot of the templates are already there. You can just build into it.
Yeah, it's so quick.
So supercharge your work docs with Magic Write, which is Canva's AI text generator as well. Just start with a prompt. Describe what you want to say in a few words. Magic Write will generate a draft in seconds. Tweak your draft, and then you're done. And tweaking it means just go ahead and read it, make sure it's like in your words. Or in my case, make sure you misspell something, right?
Yeah.
So tweak it. It's a serious time saver. It's a perfect way to beat the blank page. Magic Write is powered by OpenAI. It's built into the Canva doc, so you get AI text generation right where you need it, where you write. No more copying and pasting from other programs. And again, it doesn't matter what you're doing. Canva will make you look like the smartest, greatest graphic designer of all time. So it's a perfect time saver. It's perfect if you're doing a presentation. Canva presentations might be the most visually impressive presentations you'll ever use. Start with using a stunning template. Use it as a springboard for your design. Start designing today at canva.com. Design for work.
This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk Wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p.
Broadcasting from the 57th Annual CMA Awards.
It's the Bobby Bones Show.
No, there's a Morgan Wallen. There's a Morgan Lori Morgan. Evans, there's a Morgan Evans. There's lots of Morgans.
Morgan and Morgan.
And there's another Craig Morgan.
No, there's not.
Yes, there is. He's a football player. He like plays for the Coyotes, because I get his crap all the time on social media.
People are hitting you up like, hey, you suck. What did I do? You cost me money. You guys didn't cover. Wait a minute. Hold on.
I don't know what you're talking about.
All right, Craig Morgan's here. It's Lunchbox and Craig Morgan. So I got a question. When is it that, at what point in the year are you going to retreat to the woods of Alaska and, like, get off the grid?
Christmas.
Okay.
So we're having Christmas with our family the week before Christmas because they all have kids now.
Yeah.
And then they want to have their Christmas day with the kids waking up at home. And I get that. We did the same thing. So we're doing ours before. And then as soon as that's done, my wife and I will head to Alaska.
And stay for how long?
Till March.
See, because Alaska is the most beautiful place. I mean, I went on an Alaskan cruise, so
yes.
My wife and I got married, and my aunt gave us a voucher, like, towards a cruise. But I'm scared to go see where you can't see land.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to go out there in the ocean.
I'm where, the
like,
same way.
Like, you know
bro.
What I mean? Like, yeah. So we did the Alaskan cruise, and we were the youngest people on the boat by, like, 20 years.
Yep.
But I have never seen such beauty.
Yeah, where did you go? Like, did you do the Bay area?
Yeah, we went to Juneau. We went to the
Ketchikan.
Yeah, that. It was amazing.
See all the eagles at the one place? Yeah.
It was so awesome.
Yeah, it is.
Like, I mean, explain to people how amazing Alaska. I mean, because I just think it's the most beautiful place in the world.
There's no words to describe it. And at our place, we're about 9 miles from the closest road, 45 miles from the closest store.
What about people? Like, how often do you see people? You'll be there from, like, December to March. How often will you see people?
Well, every once in a while, we have our friends, the snow machine, in to where we're at. You can only get to my place in the winter by a snow machine or fly in and land on skis on that way.
That is so yeah. So how do you find a place like that? What made you?
Oh, man. You gotta want it.
Yeah, but what made you want to live that lifestyle? Like,
well, I mean, I taught survival in the military.
Yeah.
That was a big part of my life. That's always been a big part of my life, and I wanted to have a place that that was difficult to get to for a bunch of reasons, but mainly for the serenity, the peace that you get. And from my cabin, I can walk out of my cabin, walk 100 yards, and I'm standing on the frozen lake, and I can see Mount Denali, I can see Hunter, I can see Four Acre, I can see these mountain peaks. They're 40 miles. I'm 40 miles from the base of Denali.
That's awesome. So what do you do with your time out there?
Whatever
I mean, you hunt, you sleep. I know you don't. You're not going to sleep all day. So do you read books?
Yeah, we read. We do a lot. Like, we don't have electricity. There's no running water.
What the hell? You don't have heat?
No, we have wood heat.
Okay. I was like, okay, you're right. You can burn logs.
Yeah.
I was like, you just wrap up it. Like, I'm going to tell you what, Craig Morgan.
When not
I was
in 2040 below.
Hey, let me tell you. In college, I was so cheap. Me and my roommates, John and Clay, shout out, boys. We wouldn't even turn on the heat. Like, we would just sleep in sweatshirts and, 10 blankets because I was like, oh, my God. And now I look back and I'm like, what do we say, $5 a month?
Yeah, no kidding. No, we get up, man. We go snow machining. We do ice fishing. We do snowshoeing. Lots of outdoor stuff like that in the snow. But then we come in the evenings because during the winter, we only have about 4 hours of daylight. And we come in and hang out by the fire, play games, do stuff that we never do at home.
What are good games that you can play as a couple?
Anything involving drinking.
Okay.
Anything that involves drinking turns into a lot of fun.
Yeah. Do you play strip poker?
Yes.
All right. Now I'm talking.
I usually don't even care if I win. I just start taking my clothes off. I don't have to win to take my clothes off.
Yeah.
Four glasses of wine, I get way too proud. But I'm out there with nobody. It's just me and my wife. You know, sometimes a buddy, and he don't care, you know.
That is so amazing.
He's like, oh, dude, put your pants back on. Bro. Come in out of the snow. You're going to get that thing cold.
So like with all these interviews, is it like, oh, my gosh, I just can't wait to get out to the woods. Like, oh, my gosh, this is so annoying.
No, the interviews?
Yeah, doing this process.
No, dude, listen, I have a career in this business, and I've had a blessed career. That Bailey Zimmerman kid just walked. I mean, that kid tell me a story about what one of my songs meant to him. I have that, and that guy's telling that story to me because of y'all, because of country radio. That's what I have. So, no, this isn't – I'm grateful.
So I made a difference in your life? Heck yeah,
absolutely,
man.
Absolutely.
Heck yeah.
Everyone in this business in radio made a difference in my life. My kids don't have a college bill because of this. My wife has a few really nice houses, and you know.
A few. I like that. I like the sound of that.
I grew up in a trailer, man.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Yes, it is crazy.
And now, is it crazy that you're Craig Morgan now and you get free stuff?
Yes.
Like, you get free stuff. Like,
yes.
You can afford stuff, but people give it to you free when you grew up in a trailer and people gave you nothing.
Nothing. I had to steal stuff.
What'd you steal? What were you good at?
No, I didn't really. I just said that.
Oh.
I didn't really steal stuff.
You didn't steal?
No.
Hey.
Never stole a bike in my life.
Statute of limitations is definitely up. I never stole baseball cards from Walmart. Never.
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 I stole candy one time, and I felt so bad, man. I went and told my dad, and he made me go in the store and tell him, and I had to work there for like 4 hours.
Oh.
Pay for a damn sucker and a pack of bubble gum.
Okay. Well, all right, Craig Morgan, thank you so much. And I got one more question. If you were hanging out with your hero, right? It's like a celebrity hero, like in the world of, you know, like TV, film, whatever. Would you rather your hero throw up on you or you throw up on your hero?
Me throw up on them, because if they throw up on me, I'm going to throw up on them anyway. So I might as well throw up on them first.
All right, Craig Morgan, thank you so much. Yeah.
The CMAs are live
tomorrow
at 8, 7 Central on ABC.
You ready?
No, I mean, I'm waiting on you. You're the one that always wants to do the introduction.
And we're live here at the CMAs.
We are so good at this. We are professional radio people.
It's getting late in the afternoon, okay? It's Morgan and Lunchbox here with Matt Stell. Matt, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Good to see y'all.
You're already doing, like, cussing up a storm. Do you have, like, a sailor's mouth? Like, when you are not off and doing things, are you, like...
It's bad.
Yeah.
It's bad. And, you know, I've heard it called code switching. You know, when you get around certain people, you know how to clean it up. So when I get around, like, my grandma and I get around the old folks, my elders, you know, I church it up a bit.
I try to church it up, but it's hard. Like, at my house, because now my five-year-old is walking around saying, F this, F that, effing kidding me. Like, we're in the grocery store, and he'll just yell, F! And I'm like, you laugh, but you can't laugh. You know what I mean? You can't say that.
It's funny that they know that it's funny when they see that look on your face, like, no, and then they want to do it. I have nephews that are a very similar way. They've learned a lot of their words from Uncle Matt.
But I have to say, I am proud of my five-year-old because he uses it in the right context.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Such as?
Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Or he drops
when something. When you get, like, Cheerios that are, like, not the brand name
Correct.
Cheerios, and he's like.
Or we're out of milk.
You're right.
And he's like, or he drops them. Oh. And I'm like, oh, well, yeah. And my wife's like, you have to stop that. And I'm like, but, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you just have to stop it for, like, 12 more years.
Yeah.
And then after that, you can do it all you want.
That is
fair. Yeah, it's just a window. He's practicing for adulthood.
I do feel like we're really comfortable here, so I want to ask you, what's, like, the most embarrassing thing that's happened to you while being an artist?
Oh, my God.
And you can go anywhere you want to go with this.
Most embarrassing thing that's happened.
In fact, Lunchbox would like you to take it in any direction. He really likes all of them.
What's the most embarrassing thing?
Especially if it involves bodily fluids.
Oh.
Well, I mean, it doesn't have to be bodily fluids. I mean, I don't care really about his fluids.
God, I feel boring now. I feel like I'm the least boring person, but I can't think of, like, one time I, so we were on tour with, we were on tour with Chris Young, and we had a good time, and it was fun. And then we played a show with him a couple years later, and I'm friends with his, you know, his band and stuff. And his bass player was like, I was standing side stage, and he hands me his, like, one of his basses, and like pushes me out on stage. So I'm like out there miming bass as if I was playing bass for Chris.
Because you don't actually know how to play bass.
I don't know how to. I can play a little, but not his songs. You know, I don't know. And I don't have my ear. Like, it's no, I'm just pretending. And I got out there and I'm having fun. He's having fun. The band's having fun. And when Chris turned around, I don't know how much fun he was having at that moment.
Oh,
when
he
saw,
was not happy.
He wasn't like mad at me or anything like that. But I was like, oh, maybe I overstepped my bounds. You know, you never want to like overstep when somebody's being. And then it turned out later he was totally fine. He had
just
a bad
a
ear
shocked.
Mix. Yeah, he was cool. But I was like, I was embarrassed for a minute. I was like, did I just make a joke out of this guy's his livelihood? And then so that was. And then I've got some others that.
What is your best air guitar situation? Like, do you have a good air guitar? Because you're talking about playing air bass.
Well, no, I had an actual bass on me. Yeah, like,
so he was fake playing. So, I mean, who has a good air guitar?
Like, but look at what's happening.
The important thing
he
when
has,
you're
like a T-Rex arm.
Yeah, because well,
because he's used to playing the guitar, so he's just like, how was I holding it? Like,
well, like so, air guitar and air bass is a subtle difference. Your air guitar, you're down here like that. Air bass, if you want to be, watch all the good bass players, all the soul bass players, all the gospel bass players. Man, they got that T-Rex arm up there. That's how you play the bass, the air bass.
And you know what's amazing? You know what's really good for radio is air guitar and air bass. Like, that is fantastic. Like, great job. I mean,
there's a camera.
I know, but I'm just telling you, like, when people are listening back in their podcasts and their ears are like,
yeah, it'll make them go watch our social media. It's all a strategy. He doesn't understand.
Yeah, great question, Morgan.
Like,
we are professionals.
You don't understand the big picture.
We're over here playing chess.
I mean, yeah, y'all are playing checkers. I'm playing chess.
Like, hey,
it's fine.
Guys, let's play the quiet game and see who wins.
Hey, Radio Land, how many fingers am I holding up?
Exactly.
Matt, did you have fun with that question?
Yeah.
Did you have more fun after the question, though?
Yeah, I mean.
but speaking of fun, we're going to quit banging on Morgan a little bit.
Yeah,
but speaking of fun, you're going to be doing the Andy Roddick Foundation event with Bobby and Riley Green.
Yeah.
Tell us why people should buy tickets, man.
Well, I mean, country music, I feel like. I mean, other genres may be great at this, too. I don't know. I'm not a part of them. But country music, like giving back and being part of like positive things is one of the things I love the most about country music. I mean, you can count on country music to support good causes. And there's nothing better than waking up with a hangover after you helped raise a bunch of money for kids that need it. And, I mean, seriously, like, it makes you have more fun to know that there's good being done and you're not just kind of there for yourself. And so, you know, Bobby hit me up about being part of this. And, man, I couldn't say yes quick enough. I actually was like, dang, if I say yes as fast as I want to, is he going to think I'm lame because I don't have things going on? You know, I was like trying to like figure out my responses, but I was like immediately was like, yeah, bro, I'm in. So,
you know, we do have like a lot of listeners who would love to know what a friendship with Bobby looks like. And you guys are good friends. What is y'all's friendship look like?
Dude, Bobby's hilarious. We have a lot of shared interests. The Razorbacks, gambling on football, country music. Man, so like
if you're betting on a game, you bet blank amount per game.
It's a little okay. I have a lot of bets going on typically, but the number isn't staggering per game because
right.
I enjoy it as a hobby. Not like I'm not trying to put my life and the livelihood of my unborn kids into peril with my irresponsible gambling, but you know, I typically have maybe a couple $100 or more on any given Sunday.
Yeah, but if you do have a gambling problem, if you're in New York, call 1-800-HOPE-NY. If you're in West Virginia,
you talk about. I would rather somebody play the quiet game on radio than read the gambling the gambling like disclosures at the end. Like it's anyway, y'all
know.
And I
didn't mean to interrupt you, but let's talk about what else is it like to be like a friend with Bobby. Like, what's the friendship like? So people that know, because people are always wondering, like in America, they're like, man, what's it like to be friends with Bobby? Like, go keep expand some more.
Well, Bobby's always doing cool stuff, and so when Bobby invites you to do stuff, you know you're going to go do something cool, like go watch a basketball game you otherwise could not get to or a football game. But I would say also he's pretty like I said, he's pretty game to be down in like any kind of leagues, like you know, like we were just talking about those sort of gambling things. We do this thing that's kind of like fantasy football, but it's with whole teams and stuff, and we've done it for a couple years, and he just kind of like – he's funny in a group text, you know, he's just witty and dry, and he lost money to me last year, which is I really love. And actually, that's my favorite. That's my favorite thing about Bobby being a friend is that he loses to me at gambling.
There you go.
So
there it is. We do have another question for you. Who's your hero? Like your musical hero, celebrity, athlete hero. It can be anything.
Oh, I mean.
You don't have to say Bobby.
Yeah, beside Bobby aside, you know, Lunchbox and Bobby aside, my heroes, you know, Gator and Rod Phillips aside. My heroes, man, honestly, most of my heroes in music are writers or they're like I've always been kind of had an indie ear for what I think is cool. So like guys like James McMurtry is one of my heroes in music. And one time I opened a show for him and he spent an hour just spending time with me and talking to me about some of his songs and let me just ask him questions. And I think he is one of the finest songwriters that we have. Daryl Scott, unbelievable songwriter. You'd reckon he wrote Great Day to Be Alive. Those are like my heroes in terms of like, you know, professional sort of heroes. And then I think like role models and stuff like that. You know, my mom is pretty dope, and she sets a pretty good example. So I would say those people probably.
Man, I'm glad you went deep because you got real deep and like sentimental. Because the question we're about to ask you is not deep and sentimental.
No, and perfect. You can't respond to this in your mom. Your mom.
It makes
is
me
not
feel
involved.
Uncomfortable to get deep and sentimental. So let's keep it light. Yeah.
Yeah. So. If you're with your hero,
yeah.
Would you rather your hero puke on you or you puke on your hero?
I would rather my hero puke on me for sure because I could deal with it. I won't know how – I wouldn't know how, you know, Daryl Scott would take me – me puke. You know, I don't know how cool Eric Church is, how chill Eric Church is going to be about, you know, puking on me. Yeah, so – or, yeah, you know, me puking on him, so – yeah.
Then puke on you.
All right.
That's yeah, bodily fluids. You're right. You're right. That's what it comes back to.
I did
to.
Tell you.
Yep. Matt Stell, everybody, thank you very much. And remember, how many fingers? And this is how the air guitar goes.
Air guitar.
Hey, goodbye.
I'm playing chess.
The CMAs are live on ABC.
Tomorrow night.
At 8, 7 Central.
It's Lunchbox and Carly Pierce. Carly, how are you?
I'm good.
I know you don't have a lot of time, do you?
None.
Because, no, Carly, because this is what happens. I'm just going to tell you. And they're just doing their job. These handler people are just doing their job. But every artist, they come to the booth, they go, they don't have a lot of time, so make the interview short. It's like... Well, what artist has time to talk to us then?
None.
Like, isn't it amazing? It's like, all right, they have 1 minute. Really? So what am I supposed to talk
about? What are you even going to ask?
Yeah. Carly, what would you like to talk about in 1 minute?
Whatever you want to talk about.
Well, great interview, guys. Thank you for coming. See, was that quick? I mean, it's just so crazy. Like, do you have a lot of time? Where do you have to be after this?
I have no idea. I go minute by minute.
Yeah, see, yeah. So you just have all
they
day.
They whip you through here. That's what yes. happens. Uh-oh, look.
20 seconds.
Oh, 20 seconds left. Now, Carly, okay, they call me the king of cringe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so I saw a video of you, and I was like, this is what you do when you're a celebrity. But other people thought it was cringeworthy, is when you're on the airplane.
Yeah, I got like a lot of laughs and a lot of hate for that.
Why? Why do people hate? Why do people hate famous people bragging about being famous?
I was like, I'm sorry. I was really excited and upset that I was on a flight and couldn't watch it. I had some alcohol, and I just wanted to see if people understood that was me. It was a big moment.
It was a big moment, and I mean,
notice I was sitting in the very last row of the plane, so I'm not.
I didn't
bougie.
Notice. I don't really notice where you're sitting. I did notice that you weren't flying private, which I thought was weird.
No.
Because you know what I mean? When you get to certain stat, you need to be flying private.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what I mean? Like people are like, oh, so cringe. Mm-hmm. When you look back at it, is it cringe?
I don't think it's cringe because it came from a really honest, just like, holy crap, this is me right now on TV.
Yeah, because like when I won Prom King, I'm still like, I still show people the picture and I'm like, yeah, look at me. I was Prom King.
It's different.
Ah!
It's different. So you thought it was cringe.
I thought it was cringe because I felt like it was cringe. Like, I'm capital cringe, so I don't think it's anything's cringeworthy. But the way the lady looked at you, the flight attendant was just like.
I don't think she believed me.
Was that the problem?
Mm-hmm. Maybe she thought I was psycho or maybe she thought I was cringy. I have no idea. She's probably like, Carly Pierce, weird. I don't know.
Do a lot of people, like, do you ever get, hey, you're psycho? Because you just said that? Like, I don't know. You were like, she thought I was psycho.
I mean.
Because people think I'm psycho.
People like, definitely, I mean, in my dating, yeah, people like to comment that I'm psycho. Because I write about my relationships.
But that's what you do.
I know.
That's your
I'm fine
job.
With it. I've made a lot of money from it.
Like how much money?
Lots of money.
Like like your bank account. Do you ever have to look at a price tag anymore?
I mean, I probably should.
But you don't.
I don't look a lot. But that I also don't buy out of control things.
But that means you've made it. Is there some... Okay. Like... Mm-hmm. Is there something you bought when you made it in your mind? Like, you made
it? Yes. I bought, when every little thing went number one, my car, literally the steering wheel wasn't working anymore.
So that's scary. So I bought a Ford Escape.
A what?
A Ford Escape SUV.
Oh, I didn't know what that was. I thought you were going to say like a Lambo.
No, I didn't have that kind of money. Still don't have that kind of money.
Okay, a Ford Escape. You know, because I'm still rocking an 05 Altima. 215,000 miles on it. Like, I mean, it is legit.
Cute.
Like, it has like a 2 inches of soot on it.
That's
like,
not cringy.
No, it's not.
That's real.
And it only works every once a week. Like,
oh,
it,
perfect.
Like, yeah. So, Carly Pierce, I'm getting the rack.
You've kept me way longer than
I know. And she's like already looking at me and giving me the rack symbol. And I'm like, well, and like, I'm not even going to say it. I'm just going to stop. And I'm going to be nice. And I'm going to ask you one more question.
Okay.
You meet your idol, your hero. You're hanging out with him. Would you rather you puke on your hero or your hero puke on you?
Literally, puke is my biggest fear in life. I would rather somebody run me over with a car than puke. Or have somebody puke on me.
So you'd have to puke on your hero.
I think you should just run me over. My hero can run me over.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Carly Pierce, everybody. Hopefully that interview wasn't as cringe as I do other things I do, because everybody thinks I'm Mr. Cringe.
Well, you told me I was Mrs. Cringe, so.
Hey, well, we can't get married. I'm already married. Sorry.
The CMAs are live.
Tomorrow.
At 8, 7 Central on ABC.
It's Morgan here with Brian Kelly. How are you?
I'm doing good. Happy
you
to
feeling
be here.
The vibes? How's your 2023 been so far?
It's been great. It's been really, really busy. We've been kind of all over. And just we've done a ton of different configurations in terms of the band. Like, we've done, you know, a bunch of guitar pulls for radio stations. We've done just like me and acoustic, me and two acoustics, me. We've done full band shows. We've done everything in between. And it's kept us on our toes. And we really are having a blast. And this year has been a big year of just kind of like pouring the foundation of my solo career. You know, we're looking at this year thinking about 10, 15 years down the road and really not skipping any steps, really trying to do this the right way. And not rush anything. And I'm just grateful for all the opportunities. I'm grateful to have a song on the radio. Last year, I didn't make the rounds. I didn't have a song on the radio yet. We were kind of in setup mode and get ready mode. And so, you know, hats off to my team and my crew. I'm just really proud of what we're doing. And you know, in a year's time, you can see the difference. And to be included, I'm just over the moon and I'm just really happy.
What has been, do you feel like, the most challenging part for you? You are diving into this solo career, but it's not all, you know, unicorns and rainbows. There's definitely hardship of changing your career and what that looks like. So what's been kind of the most challenging thing for you?
You know, that's a good question. I mean, to be honest with you, maybe some of the travel, you know, like some crazy early mornings and like lobby calls getting to the next place. But that's something I've done before, and I kind of know what to expect. And it's really not that hard, but you know, basically have kind of started over, and so I'm kind of cool with it. You know, okay. It's like I didn't want anything given to me. I want people to love what I'm doing and love me, and I really want to connect the dots this year and every year after that, and just let everybody know like, hey, this is me, and I'm gonna be around, and I hope you dig what I'm doing, and let's all do this together. And so I love the hard work. It's not something that I could complain about, because you know, we get to make music for a living, and so I'm just grateful. Every step of the way is like a stepping stone and pushing what we're doing going forward. And so, yeah, I'm eating it up. I love it. Yeah.
What about like you finding your footing? For advice for people, because I do feel like, you know, I just turned 30 and I'm like, oh gosh, if I have to like start my career in a different way, I'd be lost. But like, I feel like you figured that out, at least for kind of starting over, for lack of a better term. What advice would you have people who are like, you can never start over, you can never go back?
I think that's probably not the right way to look at it. You know, I think you can always, it doesn't matter how old you are, what you've done before. I just think I'm a big believer in anything can happen. You know, like I've always been a big dreamer, and you know,
What is your biggest dream? Like, you say big dreamer. What is like your, this is the biggest dream ever. If I can accomplish this before I die, I will be the happiest person on earth.
Yeah, it's not so much in terms of you know, I don't have like a list of awards that I want to win. I just have a vision of the experience that I want my fans to have and what that looks like. So, you know, just a lot of people coming to shows, having a great time, making memories that are following me to the next show, because they don't know what I'm going to do. Maybe I'll play a song I wrote that day, or maybe there's a guest popping up and I'm not going to play the same set every show. It's going to be different. It's going to be have a flow to it. It's going to be fun. So that's what I want it to look like. If awards or, you know, accolades come, that's great. But that's, you know what I'm saying? I just have a vision and a feel and a vibe of what I'm trying to
create. Well, I don't know if there's like a venue on your list or an artist collaboration or there's something that you're like, if this happens, I will be so happy.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I just want to have a career and a brand and a, you know, that can stand the test of time. You know, that's something that I could go out on my own terms.
I feel that.
I think that's what I'm looking for, yeah.
You guys do, I believe it's you and your wife who have Tribe Kelly.
Yep.
How has it been, like, running also that brand? Because that's all on its own, and it's massive.
Well, thank God my wife is awesome, because I don't have to spend too much time on it. She is absolutely just the boss lady and the CEO and just all things creative. So I get to, like, step in on the easy things and just kind of maybe make an edit to one of the pieces or whatever, but she's the brains behind it, and I'm lucky to be able to work alongside her. And even in my music career, she helps refine everything. I mean, even last night we were looking at a picture for a new song I'm dropping, and she goes, hey, that filter on the picture's too washed out, we need to warm it up, it's not really on your brand, you know, vibe.
And
I'm like, damn, babe. I'm like, yes, babe. Okay, cool.
Very honest with you.
Yeah, very honest, and just got. She just has a touch on everything that just refines it a little bit better.
Oh, I love that, and I love that you're taking it well too. You know, sometimes it might be like, no, you're not helping
me.
But
trust
you're like,
her.
Let's go.
No, she's awesome. She's got it dialed in. She
I
really
love
does.
That. I do have a fun would you rather question for you.
Great.
Okay, who's your hero? Could be musical, celebrity.
Ooh.
Can't say your wife or your mom.
I'm gonna say Vince Vaughn. Actor.
Oh, that is a good one. Yeah. Well, say you meet Vince Vaughn. Would you rather him vomit on you or you vomit on him?
Well, if he vomits on me, I'm gonna vomit on him. It's gonna happen.
That's so.
He starts puking. I'm gonna start blowing chunks. You'll start spewing everywhere.
It'd be a whole thing.
Any Wayne's World? Is that from Wayne's
World? Yeah, I had to watch that for the first time. So yes, I
no,
do
it's
remember.
I have an issue. So I'd probably to save it. I'd probably just have to puke on him
and just take the hit.
Yeah, because I don't know. That's a tough choice.
Hey, listen, we don't ask easy questions around here.
It's a burning question.
Well, thank you, Brian. It's
thank
great
you.
To see you.
Appreciate the time.
The CMAs are live on ABC.
Tomorrow night.
At 8, 7 Central.
It's Morgan and Lunchbox here with Graylin James.
Yeah, and do you know who this guy is?
I'm meeting him for the first time.
Yeah, because I'm going to be honest. I don't know. So
he rolls like this a lot.
Back, but. No, but I'm saying, like, maybe people don't know you, so tell us who Graylin James is.
I did just find out he's nominated this week.
I am nominated, and I've got the suit for it, got the cowboy hat. I'm going to be rocking that tomorrow, so you'll see me. You'll see me. I'll be a lot taller with my cowboy hat on tomorrow night. But,
so are you doing the artist thing? You said you wrote Next Thing You Know.
Absolutely. Yeah, so I've been a songwriter. I moved to Nashville when I was 18 years old, and thought I was going to be a big star right off the bat, and then I realized my songs were not that great, so I just started locking myself in the room and writing songs, and I've had the pleasure of writing songs for, you know, guys like Kenny Chesney, Cole Swindell, Jordan Davis, Darius Rucker, a handful of others. But I signed a record deal this year and started putting out my own music, and I'm excited. I've been on tour. It's exciting.
Wait, how did you decide? You're like, my songs are not that great.
I think he got feedback from everybody else that his songs sucked, and you kind of know quickly.
I was just curious what happened.
You know what? I just saw Chris Jansen walk by. So Chris Jansen was the first guy to like record my songs, but he was one of the guys that sat me down and was like, bro, like you should start like recording your own music. And then guys like Cole Swindell were like, hey, you should start recording your own music and putting it out. And so I was like, all right, you know, I think I'm getting good at this. I think I'm going to start doing it.
Is that the dream to be a superstar, or would you? I mean, because it's kind of fun to have be a songwriter, make a lot of money, and just live that life, the rich life, and not people not know who you are. But I'd rather be out in the spotlight and famous. But
yeah, oh, absolutely. You know, I got to go, you know, when I was just doing the songwriter thing. I got to go out on tour buses and see my artist friends go out and run on stage, and I was like, oh, man, you know, it's like being a coach and not getting to be on the field. And there's something that you miss about it. And ever since I got back on tour and got to go on these big stages, I was like, this is what I dreamed about as a kid. Nobody really dreams about when you're 5 years old, sitting in a songwriter room just writing songs. You know,
hey, I'll be honest, when I'm 5 years old, and I didn't realize, even when I was in my 30s, I didn't realize other people wrote songs that people performed. No. I had no idea.
Yeah, I had no idea either, so that was obviously not the goal. And so when I got here, you know, I fell in love with songwriting. I still love it, but, you know, playing the songs, getting to see the fans' reactions to it, there's There's nothing like it.
Well, and I hear you're blowing up on social media. Have you been doing some weird stuff that we haven't been seeing? What's happening on social media?
No, I don't think so.
What kind of weird stuff are we talking about?
He's blowing up, so like maybe he's doing some crazy stuff. I don't know.
Something might have happened. It might have been like a dog video or something with my beagle. I don't know. But
was peanut butter involved?
No, it was a beagle.
It was peanut butter involved.
You can that.
Unless there was also tequila involved, I don't think so. But it's social media has been great for me. You know, it's been a great way to tease songs and, again, let people in on my personal life, and it's a good thing.
Good. And what about – we have a question for you. Who's your hero? Musical, celebrity, athlete?
I would say Kenny Chesney. So I grew up in Knoxville, Tennessee, and he's from there. And so he really let me know that, hey, this is something that is real. And as a kid growing up and seeing somebody do what you want to do and do it in a big way, it definitely helped me. That's why I'm sitting here. And he actually – he changed my life. So I'd never met him. But when I was 21, I wrote a song for him, and it became my first hit song. Changed my life, and that's why I'm sitting here. So,
well, shout out singing for Kenny Chesney. Yes, that's amazing. But this is not what we're going in that direction. I would like to know if you were hanging out with him, and is it better for you to vomit on him or him to vomit on you?
Oh, man. Kenny does everything pretty classy, so I think if he threw up on me, it'd be a lot more classy than me throwing up on him. I think his is going to be like a really expensive bottle of wine taste kind of throw up. Mine's going to be like Busch Light, Tito's vodka. You know, it's not going to be great. So
fair enough.
Kenny, come throw on me, dude.
let's not maybe not put that energy in the world.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Okay. No, that'd be cool because that means he got to meet him. That means they had a good time together.
That's right.
But he did write a song for him.
But it would be so legit, and you could take that and be like, my hero puked on me. I'd love it.
That would be a great TikTok video, speaking of.
Hey, there, that's how we blow up. Well, Graylin, thanks for joining us. It's great to see you.
Hey, very nice meeting you, dude. I didn't know you at the beginning, but now I know you.
We go back now, dude.
Yeah, we're friends now.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.